Open your Bibles with me, please, to the sixth chapter of John. This is a chapter that has been a special blessing to my own life, for I had known the Lord many years and had been preaching the Word of God for many years, and then one day, along about 1993, sitting in my office in Jamaica, I read this chapter in a total new light. And I've often said I read it for the first time, though I had read it many times before. And it, in many ways, changed my life. There was a transformation that took place there by the power of the Word of God, a mighty chapter. Let's begin our reading at the 22nd verse of the chapter, and we're going to comment on much of it, but our text is actually going to be in those few verses towards the end there, but we'll take our time getting there. We won't rush. John chapter 6, starting in verse 22. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there were none other boat there save the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where he did eat bread after that the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. They said unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How then is it that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come unto me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Everyone therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even shall he live by me. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Let's bow for prayer before we look into God's Word. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the eternal plan of God, the marvelous wisdom of God, which looked down through the ages of man's time, which are but a moment with thee, and planned the way of grace, made for us the atonement by him who the Father has sealed. We thank you for so great salvation. Lord, this morning, to those that know thee, may their hearts be blessed by these truths. Father, to those that are lost, wandering sheep, may they be returned to the shepherd and bishop of the soul. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in verse 22, our text says, the day following. And it's important with any passage of Scripture to understand the context, what is taking place at the time. Because when we understand what is taking place at the time the Scripture is given, it helps us to understand what the teaching is that Christ intended. Not some teaching that some man may try to force into the passage, but what was the surrounding when Christ was teaching. Well, in verses 1 through 15 of chapter 6, you had the feeding of the 5,000. When Christ took a little boy's lunch and blessed it and fed 5,000 men plus the women and children with that little bit of food. And then in verses 16 through 21, we have the situation where the disciples had gotten into a boat and crossed over to the sea. The multitude saw the disciples get into the boat without Jesus. There were no other boats there at the time the disciples left, though boats had come later from Tiberias. And yet now they find Jesus on the other side of the sea. How did he get there? Master, when did you come? Those two salient facts and two miracles are the keys to understanding this passage and understanding the objections the Jews raised and the answer which Christ gives to their objections. And so, coming down to verse 26, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because of the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Jesus says to this multitude, you're not coming because you saw me do two great works. You saw me feed a multitude from a little boy's lunch. You know that I am here and somehow I have crossed the sea without a boat. You're not coming because of the miracles, but rather you're coming because you got a free lunch yesterday. You're coming because you ate and were filled, and you want some more of that. But you've totally missed the truth behind what I am teaching. Labor not, verse 27, for the meat that perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath the Father sealed." Your fathers had eaten manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. They ate bread from heaven, as they called it themselves, and yet they have perished. Don't labor for that manna which perishes. They had to collect the manna every day. If they collected a pot of manna for tomorrow, it spoiled. It was temporary. It perished. It vanished away. And besides that, I could not eat a healthy helping of manna and never have to eat again. But rather, the manna had to be eaten day after day after day. And Jesus says to them, "You are laboring, you've walked around the lake, you have labored and striven for manna which perishes. Your whole life is consumed in things which have no eternal value, they are passing away. Rather than laboring for the manna which perishes, labor for that which endureth unto everlasting life." Verse 28. Or the last part of verse 27. "For him," that is Christ, "hath the Father sealed." Verse 28. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Isn't that the typical nature of man? What can we do? What shall we do? Christ says, "Here's the bread." Christ says, "Believe." Well, what shall we do? How can we sew together some fig leaves that will cover our sin? Give me something to do. The woman at the well. Well, what can I do? The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Saul on the road to Tarsus with the great light. Lord, what would you have me to do? You see, man wants to do something. I'll never forget a group of young people, dear, dear young people, that we had at one of our churches in Jamaica. Teenagers, 13, 14, 15 years old, earnestly seeking truth. They were studying God's Word with us. We didn't have cards for them to sign. We didn't have them walk down an aisle and pray a little model prayer that we gave them to pray. But rather, we were carefully instructing them in the Word of God, pleading that the Spirit of God would reach their hearts. But human nature wants to do something. It wants something to hang on to. They were approached by some Seventh-day Adventists who said, "Oh, you just don't feel saved because you're worshiping on the wrong day. Come with us on Saturday and it'll all be all right." And they did. And I don't know if those three young people ever came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Man wants to do something about his sin. Man cannot do anything about his sin. This is the work of God, that ye believe. Here, these people who have just seen the feeding of the 5,000, and Christ, by some miraculous means that they cannot understand, has been transported from one side of the lake to the other. Give us something to do, and we will believe. Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God. This is the work that must be done, that ye believe." You see, man says, "What can I do?" Christ says, "Believe." Man says, "What is the work to be done?" God says, "The work is already done. It is done by Christ. Simply believe." In the first hymn that we sang this morning, the last verse of that hymn says, "His grace has planned it all. 'Tis mine but to believe. and recognize his work of love, and Christ receive. You see, they had seen many works, but they never recognized the work of love. They had seen the miracles, but they had never seen the miracle worker. He answered them in verse 30. Or they answered him. Then said they unto him, "What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What work doeth thou?" What sign are you going to show us? Give us a sign. I've just given you two, Christ could have said. I've just fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch. I've just walked across the sea. And now you want a sign? You see the stumbling block? The problem was Jesus was the sign. The sign. The only sign that God will ever give you. The sign was standing right in front of them. And we're going to see from this chapter that the manna in the wilderness was the sign. The smitten rock was the sign. The Passover was the sign. Jesus Christ is the sign. Don't look for a mighty work. Don't look for a miracle. Look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. For there alone is salvation. If you were baptized, I'm glad. But that doesn't save you. If you're a member of the church, I'm glad. But that doesn't save you. If you've been in church your whole life, I'm glad. If you were raised in a Christian home, thank the Lord for it. Those are wonderful things. But they are not salvation. All they are is bread that Christ has blessed and given to his disciples to distribute. And you see, not one person who ate bread that Christ miraculously made was saved because of it. And not one person that ate manna in the wilderness was saved because they ate that manna. Because that's bread that perishes. You realize that of all the millions of people, as many as 2.5 million people that ate manna in the wilderness, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones who came out of Egypt, ate the manna, and entered the promised land. Ah, my friend, you can grow up in the house of God, and you can nibble on bread that God distributes all your life and be lost for all eternity. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe." Verse 30, they said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou that we may see and believe? What work dost thou? Prove thyself." The Jews seek after a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But you see, the sign, Paul said, was a stumbling block. These Jews wanted anything but Jesus. This guy, Jesus, he's the son of Joseph, and we know his mother and father. He's not what we're looking for. He's not the religion we want. We want something spectacular. Remember Naaman? He wanted the prophet to come and clap his hands over him, say some magic word. No, go dip in the Jordan. We have clean rivers in our own country. Christ is not the sign that people want. "But all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no wise cast out." Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, as it is written, "He gave them bread to eat." You see, Moses was a type of Messiah. Moses delivered the people from Egypt. Moses led them through the promised land. Moses fed them with manna. He was a foreshadowing of the Messiah. The Jews believed that the promised Messiah would do greater works than Moses. And they pointed actually to Psalm 72 to bolster this. In Psalm 72:10, it talks about there being corn on the mountain. And they believed that when their Messiah came, the one they were looking for, that he would feed all the people and there would be abundance of personal wealth in the land when Messiah came. Moses fed 2.5 million people for 40 years. Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. What sign are you going to show us? You did a pretty good job there, Jesus. You fed 5,000 men for one day. But Moses gave us bread from heaven. And when they refer to bread from heaven, they're not talking about the seat of God's rule, the throne. But Moses gave us bread from the skies. In other words, basically they're saying Moses made bread out of nothing. You started with a little boy's lunch. You see the difference there? And they're saying, okay, 5,000 people, one afternoon, pretty good, but you started with a lunch. But Moses, 40 years, 2.5 million people, give or take, and he did it out of nothing. Verse 23 or 32. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Moses didn't do a miracle, folks. Moses didn't give you the bread. They were attributing the bread to Moses. Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread. And the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world. Moses didn't give you the bread. My Father gave you the bread. And look what they say. Evermore, Lord, give us this bread. Ah, that sounds good. You fed us yesterday. Evermore, give us bread. Day after day after day. For the rest of our lives. Evermore, give us this bread. What did the woman at the well say? Well, give me this water because I don't want to come and draw anymore. Right? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She had no spiritual perception at all of that which Christ was offering to her, that which he would give her. The rich young ruler. In Matthew 19, verse 16, behold, one came unto him, saying, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Jesus said unto him, if thou would be perfect, go and sell thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. His eyes were all on the things of earth. The woman at the well, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Well, you've had seven, and he who you're with is not your husband. You see, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst. And if you look back to verse 4 of the chapter, a verse we didn't read earlier, the Passover feast of the Jews was nigh. What is the Passover? Oh, it looks forward to the Messiah. The Passover was a representation of the slain lamb. The death angel passed through the land, and the blood was on the top of the door, on the sides of the door. And where there was blood, there was salvation. Where there was no blood, the firstborn died. The Passover was nigh. And Jesus showing them that I am the Passover. The Passover, as we celebrate the Lord's table, is the continuation, not the Lord's table looking forward to the crucifixion, but the Lord's table looking back to the sacrifice of Christ. Verse 36, but I said unto you that ye have seen me and believe not. You've seen me. I'm here, and yet you do not believe. What sign showest thou But Jesus is the sign. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me. Of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, not seeth the miracles, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. But how can you do that? Verse 42. Isn't this Joseph? We know his mother. We know his father. This can't be the Messiah. This can't be the truth. Certainly there's someone else. Certainly there's a more glorious Savior. Certainly he's going to ride in on a horse with a spear, and he's going to slay all of our enemies, and he's going to feed us with manna every day. And you see, Jesus Christ is not the God that people want. Jesus Christ is not the God that people desire. You look at the gods of mythology. Don't look at the gods of mythology. Scrap that. The gods of mythology are all angry gods. They're vengeful gods. They're gods who throw lightning bolts at people that disobey them. They're gods who have been offended by this, that, or the other, and now they're taking their vengeance. All the gods that man creates are bigger men that are flawed. They are magnifications of man along with the magnifications of all man's faults. Satan is a great deceiver. Jesus Christ is merciful. He's loving. Jesus Christ is the only God who does not demand the sacrifice of his followers. You will not find another God who himself sacrificed for his followers. And so the heathen would bring their own firstborn baby and sacrifice it to appease the gods so it would rain. And yet Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was offered up by the Father and offered up himself for sin. You see the contrast there? You see the difference? Not in man's wisdom, not in man's estimation, not the God that man would make for himself, but the God who made man himself. And he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will no man always cast out. And no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw him to himself. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. And Paul expounded on this text in 1 Corinthians 10. And I'll have you flip over there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll look briefly at the first five verses. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 10, 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, and you'll notice the capital R, that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. That rock was Christ. But with many of them was God not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Paul is expounding here to brethren, to his Jewish brethren, that the rock which followed them, the rock which was smitten, it was Christ. The manna in the wilderness, it was Christ. Here we have verse 4 as we're approaching the Passover. Here we have Christ feeding the multitude, as Moses fed the multitude in the wilderness. And how did the children of Israel escape Pharaoh's army? The Red Sea was parted. Master, when came you hither? How did you get here? You see, Jesus has just not duplicated, Jesus has shown them the truth of the two miracles that Moses did as they were leaving Egypt. They had manna in the wilderness. They crossed the Red Sea. And the Passover's coming. You see the context of the chapter. You see, it's all about Jesus Christ. Genesis, it's about Jesus Christ. Exodus, it's about Jesus Christ. Leviticus, it's the glorious law of Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy, it's God's people for whom the law was given. Numbers, it's God's people that were numbered. Joshua, who led God's people. And shall we continue? It's all about Jesus Christ. You're looking for something to be saved. All your works do not satisfy. All your church membership hasn't done it. All your goodness, and still you find an emptiness in your soul. Still you find, am I saved? Are my prayers answered? Have I prayed enough? Have I believed enough? Is my faith strong enough? What sign showest thou? It's all about Jesus. It's all about Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, for this is the work of God. It's a picture of Christ. Christ was the manna in the wilderness. And these people who ate manna for 40 years, and these men and women, 5,000 men plus women and children, who ate the bread that Christ broke and the fish that Christ blessed there on the mountain. It doesn't say He broke it, it says He blessed it and gave it to His disciples. They saw the physical bread. They swallowed it. But they never saw the spiritual meaning. They never saw Christ. We read in Hebrews 3, verse 7 and following, wherefore the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But with whom was He grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom He sware that they should not enter into His rest, but to those that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. My father, who I believe some of you knew, as he approached the end of his ministry and actually speaking to one of my brothers 3 days before he died, said to my brother, I'm afraid that there are people that have been under my ministry for 40 years that are not saved, that are lost. Ah, how easy it is to see the signs, see the proof, and never see the Savior. Verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'm the bread. I am that which you need. Now, I had announced and put in the bulletin that our text would be from verses 67 and following. So let's move forward in the chapter down to verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. When Christ confronted them with the fact, with the truth that he was the bread of heaven, it wasn't what they were looking for. And many disciples, now it's not talking about the 12, but many of those who were his students, many of those who had followed him, many who had come around the lake to find out where he had gone, when they heard this, they said, no, that's not what we expected. And they walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, verse 67, will ye also go away? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ. Ah, my friend, you want a faith that will give you confidence. You want a faith outside of your profession. You want a faith outside of your baptism. You want a faith outside of your good works. You want a faith outside of your church membership. You want a faith outside of your family. There it is. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. And we believe that you're Messiah. We believe that you're the Christ. You see, Jesus Christ, like the manna which their fathers ate in the wilderness, was needful. If they did not eat the manna in the wilderness, they would perish. If they did not believe in Christ, they would perish. Jesus Christ, like the manna in the wilderness, was a gift from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ, like the manna in the wilderness, was satisfying. Ah, they grumbled and complained, but it met the need of the body. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger and never thirst. Jesus Christ, like the manna in the wilderness, was accessible. The manna of the wilderness was not miles and miles from camp. They did not have to go with their pocket full of coins to purchase it. They did not have to dig a hole and dig it up out of the ground. They did not have to plant and reap what was planted. All they had to do was take it. It was there. It was accessible. Jesus Christ, like the manna, was a personal eating. The mother couldn't eat for the child. The child could not eat for the elderly father. It had to be taken personally. And Jesus Christ, like the manna, was the only means of saving their lives. And my friend, Jesus Christ is the only salvation. Friends, dear ones, the churches today are filled with good people. I fear that many pulpits today are filled with very earnest men that are lost. Don't look for a sign. Don't look to anything of this earth. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Search your souls, my friend. Ah, may the Holy Spirit search us with a candle. And may we truly know salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Let us stand for prayer. Our Father, we thank you that your word is instructive to our hearts. Lord, we thank you that it is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is the bread come down from heaven, which a man may eat thereof and never die. Bless this truth to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name.